Amen. Thank you, Barry and Sarah. Good to have you folks back. Good to have the Raymonds back. Good to have the Carpenters here and Kuipers and everybody else that isn't usually here. We're glad to have you here and praise the Lord for that. 1 Peter chapter 1, and we'll just read verse 17. 1 Peter 1 and verse 17. This morning I preached part 1 of the time of your sojourning. And tonight I'll finish that up with part 2. 1 Peter 1 and verse 17. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. We're redeemed with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's priceless. It's greater than any silver, any gold. And since we're redeemed, since we're bought with that price, we should be very concerned about the time of our sojourning. We should be very concerned about the time we're here. We talked about this morning, and I'll reemphasize that, but we talked about the sojourn that we have, the brief moment that we have here on this earth, and that brief moment that is called time, that period that comes between eternity past and eternity future, and right in there we are, and we have all kinds of little segments in there, days and minutes and hours and months and years and all of that. And we ought to be very concerned. The Bible says to be holy. He says, be ye holy, for I am holy. And so the time that we have this slot, this period that we're alive, it's very important. And very, very important that we use it in the very best way that we can, in the right way for the Lord. So let's have a word of prayer and we'll finish up this message. Father, I thank you again for your many, many blessings in 2002. I thank you for answering so many prayers. Father, it's just so good to come to the end of the year and know that you're still on the throne. You're still God. No matter what happens, a lot of negative things certainly happened, and elections went the way we didn't want them to, and some tragedies took place in people's lives, and yet you're still our God, and you still love us, and you never change. And I pray that you'll just give us a good end of the year, that you'll challenge us tonight to make any decisions that have not been made and do anything that we need to do. Lord, I pray that you'll speak to us about 2013, that we'll be ready and we'll be excited about this next period of time in our lives called 2013. I pray you'll use us for your honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, to sojourn, a sojourn is a brief time. It's not all the time, it's just a brief time. And so the time we live is called a sojourn because it is such a brief time compared to eternity past and eternity future. In the context of the message, it is my time here on this earth or your time here on this earth. It's our sojourn. It's our the time of our sojourning. It's while we're here living on this earth. It's our time between eternity past and eternity future. This morning I gave you 6 points, and the first one was the predecessor of time, that is eternity. Eternity came before time was ever instituted. Number two, the presence of time, which is a period with a beginning and an ending. In Genesis, it said the evening and the morning were the first day. There was a beginning and there was an ending, and that was a period. We have different periods called seconds and minutes and hours and days, weeks, and so forth and so on. And so we recognize the presence of time. Number three is the presentation of time. And again, that is more specifically days, years, seasons. It's so that we can mark our sojourn. And we do that. Most of us have calendars here. I don't know how many of you have I have a little calendar where I mark my weight every day. And I don't do that so anybody can look at it. I do that so I can look at it, so I can look and kind of keep myself in check. Really, it's not a matter of looking back as much as it's realizing and writing down that day and going, oh, brother. you know, and all of that. But we mark a period. In other words, this was this day, and at this time, this is what it was. And so we do that, and we have these presentations of time to mark our sojourn. You have an age, whatever your age is. You have that; those are broken down into periods of time. Number four is the prediction of time, and that is it will end. All time ends. A minute ends. 60 seconds, and the minute's over. An hour ends. 60 minutes, the hour's over. A day ends. 24 hours, the day is over, and so on and so forth. And so the prediction of time is that it will end. And number five, the precision of time is it doesn't stop. It goes from start to finish. The sun rises, the sun sets. Seconds tick, you know. And there is a period of time, Ecclesiastes says, for every purpose under the sun. There is a period of time. And whatever we need to do in 2013, we have the time to do it. Whatever there is to do tomorrow, which for many it'll be watch football games, I suppose, parades and all that kind of stuff. But whatever it is you have to do next week, there are 7 days to accomplish that thing. God says there is a time, there's a season, there is a period for everything. And mainly for God's purpose. Obviously, he's set aside what we're calling is eternity past is here, and eternity future is here, and then all this in between is time and God's purpose in that time. And as I mentioned this morning, the precision of time is seen so clearly when the Bible, just as we talk about the Christmas story, when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son. What's that mean? When that period, when that season was over, without the Messiah, God sent the Messiah. And perfect timing, everything always takes place exactly how God says it's going to take place. And then the sixth thing that we learned this morning is the presumption of time, and that is we presume that we always have more time. We presume that we have more than we have. We guess, we think, we presume that we have more time to accomplish something, more time to do. Typically, we presume we have more time to live. The truth is we have no idea. We do not know how long we have to live. And so we move into now number seven, and that is the preciousness of time. Time is so precious. Notice Psalm 89 and verse 47. Psalm 89 and verse 47. And the psalmist said it like probably we would all say it. He says, remember how short my time is. Remember how short. It just seems so short. Doesn't matter what it is. If it's a minute, it just seems too short. If it's an hour, it just seems too short. Now, it's interesting, when you're young, you want time to go faster. I remember sitting with my best friend out in the yard, and day after day after day, yeah, boy, I can't wait till I get my license. How many of you know what I'm talking? Remember those days? And yeah, I just can't wait to get my license. Well, when I get my license, it's almost like when you get your license, everything's perfect. Nothing can be better than getting that license, you know? And I remember, oh boy, when I was 14, oh boy, I just can't wait till I'm 16, I get my license. Boy, when I get my license, you know? We never thought about the fact we'd also have to have gasoline, we'd have to have insurance, we'd have to have all those, have to have a vehicle. You know, that license doesn't do you a bit of good without a vehicle. But anyway, when you're young, it's not such a big deal. But boy, now we want every minute. I mentioned this morning, we'd love to have 30 hours in a day, and it wouldn't be enough, you know? And so time, as the psalmist said, my time is short. James chapter 4, verse 14, we looked at this morning, but again, so true. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor. It's a vapor that appeareth for a little time, and then vanisheth away. It's just so short. It's God compares it to a vapor, to fog. It's here and gone. We only have so much, and it goes quickly. That's why it's so precious. That's why it is priceless. You can't buy time. It's so precious to us because it is. We only have so much of it, and it goes quickly. And we don't always know how much time. Now, some of the, we know how much time we have in a day. We know how much time we have in a year. We know some of those kind of things. The truth of the matter is, none of us know if we'll even finish the day. We don't know how long we have here. We don't know how long it's going to be till the rapture takes place. You say, boy, I've been wanting to witness to so-and-so. You better witness to so-and-so. You better get a gospel tract in their hand. You better get an opportunity to talk to them because you don't know if you're going to get that opportunity. Time is so precious. I mentioned this morning. You can't go back in time until this summer with our Vacation Bible School time machine. If we can get it built in time. We time, see? And if we can get the proper instructions on building that thing. But literally, I mean, we can't go back. We'd like to go. Boy, if I could go back and change this, I'd change this. If I could go back, you can't. It doesn't work. You cannot go back. And how many of us say this? And we say it weekly. If I only had more time. Okay, you can fill in what follows that. If I only had more time, we would have won the game. If I only had more time, we would have got the job done. If I'd only had more time, I'd have done better on the test. And fill it in. Anything, there's so many things that if I'd only had more time, I would have got the job. If I'd only had more time, and all of these different things show us how precious time is. It's we're saying if I just had more of this, if I could just have more, it would help me with the game. It would help me with my work. It would help me with my assignment. It's just so precious to us. It's so precious where a day is precious. It's precious where a season is precious. And everything, as far as the preciousness of time, God says, it's just a vapor. I don't know if you ever tried to grab a vapor. It's tough. You can't hold on to it because it's here and then it's gone. Those that have small children, wow. What's that song, that they always sing? And a lot of times Tim plays them at the graduation with the slideshow. Ride a bike, play a game. And cherish the moment. That's it. Boy, you better. Because, they go from little and cute to big and, well, anyway. But I'm just saying, it's like that. It's unbelievable how fast it goes. And that's why time is called, it is so precious. The preciousness of time. And the thing is, in life, it's different for everybody as far as how long our time is. And so since we don't know, it becomes even more precious to us, because we just have a certain time. I have a certain time. I have a certain time to accomplish what God's will is for my life. You have a certain time. We have enough time. We know that. There's no question about that because God said he's given us that block of time to accomplish that purpose. There's time for every purpose. But what am I doing with it? That's the key thing. And it becomes so precious. And that leads me to number 8, and that is the preference of time. What do we prefer? Well, we prefer two things about time. We prefer quantity, more, right? Everybody, boy, we want the most, and quality of time. I mean, let's be honest. I want lots and lots of time. I want lots of time. I want as much as I possibly can get. Now, the Bible does talk about that. Proverbs 3, verse 1. And there are many, many verses I could show, but I'm just going to show you a couple verses here in reference to this. But we want lots and lots and lots and lots of time. Proverbs 3 and verse 1. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. You like that? That's a good thing. Length of days and long life. All right, verse 3, let not mercy and truth forsake thee, bind them about thy neck, write them upon the table of thine heart. And so, what's he say? He says, let thine heart keep my commandments, and if your heart does it, if you do what God says, he says, length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Now, I like that. That's a good thing. So what will add life? What will add days? What will add weeks? What will add months? What will add to my life? What will give me a larger quantity, perhaps? Well, the Bible says doing right. Doing right. Just obeying God. Just doing what God says. Just doing what His commandments say. Just do right. Proverbs 3, verse 16. He goes on, he says, length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand, riches and honor. By the way, I like what's in both her hands, amen. But I especially like that length of days. In whose hand? Oh, it says in verse 13, happy is the man that findeth wisdom. And so somebody who has wisdom, they find a length in their days. Now, I think that only makes sense. I think it makes sense in the idea that when we're doing right, not only does God bless us, but we stay out of trouble. When we have wisdom, not only does God bless us, but we stay out of trouble. I mean, the more wisdom that you and I use, the more we avoid problems and troubles that are going to take time off of us. For example, the person that smokes cigarettes, they are cutting their life short. They are cutting short the time that they could have had here on this earth. And so a wise person would say, wait a minute, I don't want to cut my life short. I want to have more time. I want to have more years, and therefore I'm going to try to be as healthy as I can. I'm going to be wise about the things that I do. I'm going to be wise about the things that I eat. By the way, Ephesians 6 and verse 1, every parent likes to quote this. Ephesians 6 and verse 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment, with promise. What's the promise? That it may be well with thee and thou mayest live long on the earth. That's a promise of God. And so I say, you know, I want quantity. I want some more time. Well, obviously the scripture tells us that doing right is going to lengthen our days, that wisdom is going to give us more time, and obeying our parents as children is going to give us a long life. There are many verses that talk about doing right and how that gives us length of days. It not only gives us longer longevity here on this earth, but I think it makes your day go further. I think doing right makes your month go better. I think doing right makes your year, you get more done in the time that you have, but that's a whole other message. But you know, wrong can cut short our life. Wrong can cut short our life. The Bible says the wages of sin is what? Death. Death is certainly going to cut short life. Now, certainly that could be our physical life. Doing wrong has cost many people their lives physically. But not only our lives, but it cuts short time. What do you mean? Well, here's a good example. Not only a physical life, but it'll cut short any period, any season. A good example. Here God gives us time. He gives us a period of freedom to work, to marry, to have a family, and all of that. And how many folks that's been cut short because they're in jail today? Why are they in jail? They did wrong. And it cuts short an opportunity. It cuts short the time, the period that God said, you will have this amount of time with this person, this family, this home, this job. And somebody says, oh, well, I'd rather go out here and do this and do this. And they lose that. It's cut short because the wage of sin is death. And their opportunity then is cut short because of sin. So if you want lots of time, and you're wanting that, and every one of us should want that. I mean, I understand we're created unto good works. We're created to do whatever God wants us to do, and we ought to be able to do it with as long as we possibly can. And obviously, the only way that's going to happen, we just need to do right, and we're going to have more time. You say, you know, I just don't have enough time. Try doing what the Scripture says. And you might be amazed at what it will do with your time. Not only a quantity of life, but we certainly want quality of life. You know, it's a good time. We want a blessed time, really. We want the best time for the most amount of time. I mean, okay, you know, it's going to storm some days. All right, it's going to have to snow every now and then. You know, but we want the sunshiny days. We want all the good things. Well, you know, the child of God really has it by far the best. Because God says all things work together for good. And so my sojourn here on this earth, no matter what happens day in and day out, I can know that my God has planned it all. And he's got it planned for good. Now, I don't always understand it. In fact, I talked last week. There's a lot of things that they don't make sense to me at all. There's a lot of things that just don't work out like I think. I preached about Anna and Simeon last week and the fact that, oh, there's the Messiah, hallelujah. But day after day after day after day, before that, the Messiah didn't come. Now, I'll tell you, folks, sometimes the valley is pretty deep. And sometimes there's a period where it can be pretty nasty. But for the child of God, we can never complain because our God says, that's going to work out for good. Your time there, your sojourn in this period, whatever it is, God says, you just keep doing right. You just keep trusting me. And I'm going to work that thing for good. And therefore, our quality of time here on this earth could be so good if we just will trust the Lord with that. Oh, the preference? Yeah, I want all of it, and I want it all to be good. But I'm going to trust the Lord with whatever time he gives me. Number 9 is the preparation of time. And I think the idea, you know, the Bible says in Proverbs 29:18, where there is no vision, the people perish. You ought to plan your time, whatever period it might be. Plan your day. Plan your month. Plan your year. You ought to set goals. You ought to make the most of your time. Whatever your time is, make the most of it. I like Jeremiah 23:28 that really is challenging us to dream and to dream big, but to tell the dream. You know, tell the dream. Oh, I don't want to do that. Good night. That's why I think it's important when you make a decision at the altar that you tell somebody. Where you're accountable to somebody. Where somebody can come and they can say, hey, how you doing with that thing a few days later? Hey, you made this decision. How's that going? You know? Not only dream the dream, but tell that dream and let people know. I got a kick out of Andrew Wilbar about a year ago. Might have been at the end of last year or maybe the beginning of this year. But Andrew Wilbar said, Pastor, I'm going to read through my Bible. And I'm looking down at him. And of course, Andrew's not 6'9" yet. You know, and I'm looking down at him. And I'm going to read through my Bible. And he's all excited. And I think he's done. How many times he read through his Bible? This was the first time. Okay, I didn't remember if he told me last year or not, but I remember last year, and he was all excited. Now, I don't know how many times throughout this year I've either asked him or he's come up to me, and I'm in Ezekiel, you know. Oh, praise God, you like the wheels? But we've talked about that back and forth, and mid-December, a couple of weeks ago, he came and he said, Pastor, I finished the Bible. You know, praise the Lord. That's so exciting. Now, you know, a lot of people, hey, well, I'm not going to tell anybody because if I fail, then they're going to know I'm a flop. Yeah, but don't fail. Don't plan to fail. Plan to succeed. Tell people so they can encourage you to do it. That's prepare. Because you only have so much time. He said, I'm going to read through my Bible in a year. Now, whether you do, whether you don't, that's but set some kind of goals for reading your Bible and tell somebody, this is what I'm trying to do. This is my plan. That's why I like the RU program, you know. People have to sign these things. You're accountable to somebody. And you have to tell them, oh, yeah, I did this. And this is where I am on this thing. Prepare for 2013. If you don't prepare, you'll do absolutely nothing. Which is what you're prepared for. Plan a month. Plan a day. Do whatever you do on purpose, because we only have so much time. Again, I've led up to this. We only have so much time. We don't know when it's going to end. So prepare. Prepare. You know, my calendar's already very busy. There's already all kinds of stuff all over it. You know, and it's already messed up. I can't imagine keeping a clean calendar. You know, ours at home is already a mess. And it's all messed up. But the truth is, that's you know, you got to prepare the time that you have. And there's no guarantee that you're going to get any more. Number 10 is the pressure of time. And I like this. Boy, time It does. It gives you a lot of pressure. How many of you have played Taboo? You know, you have the little hourglass, and you know, people I play, so many people. My wife, she cheats. She'll slam that thing down so the sand goes faster. You don't do that? Are you sure about that? Anyway, you turn that hourglass. You're supposed to just turn it real soft, you know, and then as it's going down, boy, you know, and you're watching that thing, and you're giving all these clues. And I don't even remember how to play. There was another game we played. We played with some kids in the school. What was that called? Catchphrase. Is that what it was? Does that little thing go beep, 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 and then it gets faster? Well, I don't like that. You know, you don't like that either, do you? Because it goes faster then. And it's like the seconds that are running out. Beep, 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 beep. Quiet! You know, I don't like this thing. But why is that? Pressure. Because time pressures us. It pressures us. Paul said this. He said, I press toward the mark. He said, I press. It's like an Olympic event where you're trying to win the race. And it's a pressure. And so many, you know, were involved in the Olympics. Maybe you watch some of that. And I mean, that pressure to get this best time, to either beat that guy or to beat that guy's time. And there's so much pressure on that thing. It's a pressure to get there first, to get there fastest. It's pressure. Paul was talking about his Christian goals in life. He said, there's a mark that I have set. It's a mark that I believe God wants me to reach. And I press. I'm pressured. I'm pressured to get to that place. You know, it's like a football player, and he's pressured to get to that yard marker so that he gets a first down or maybe the goal line to get a touchdown. And he runs, and somebody tries to tackle him, and he stiff arms him and tries to knock him out of the way, and he just keeps going and churning his heart. There's pressure. You know, that's the way we ought to look at time. We're so casual sometimes about the time that we have. It's not a big deal. That's why we waste it. That's why we don't plan. If our Christian life was as pressured as for example, a video game, most to do great things for God. I got to win. I got to win. I got to hurry. I got to win. You know? And if we'd look at our Christian life that way, if we'd be excited about our Christian life that way, that I've only got so much time. I've only got so much time to win my coworkers to Christ, to give them the gospel. I only have so much time to talk to my family about the Lord. I only have so much time to reach my neighbors with the cause of Christ. Pressure. Paul said, I press. Who put the pressure on? Paul put it on. He said, I want to do this. Think of some goals in your life you need to put some pressure on. Think of some goals. Think of reading your Bible. Press. Press. Boy, if we were as excited about reading our Bible every day as we are, we feel the pressure about other things. You know, we'd read our Bible. If we were as excited and we would pressure ourselves, okay, I'm gonna pray so many minutes every day, and we pressure ourselves. I'm going to pressure myself to be in church. I'm going to pressure myself to talk to people about the Lord. I'm going to press toward the mark because I only have so much time. I don't know when my time's going to end, but I'm going to press as long as I can press. Amen. Pressure of time. Number 11, the prevention of time. This is a killer. Prevention of time. It's a period of time that's cut short that we talked about earlier. But it's like this, it's somebody having a good time until they had an argument. I don't know about you, but I like having good times. Amen. I like things going good. I like things to be good. Praise the Lord. But it's like somebody, like I say, somebody's doing so well and everything's good, and then they have an argument. You know, a couple may do this. Friends may do this. So many, you know, pastoring as long as I have, I watch bitterness carry into old age. What is old age? Old age is you're supposed to have a good time. You retire. And that means you don't have to go to work. Now, most people still work. Some, they do some things. And many work here. But the truth is, it's supposed to be good. And boy, there's some folks, you know, they go into that with bitterness in their heart and anger and all bent out of shape about whatever may happen. And, you know, how sad that is. Because it could be, and it should be, a blessed time. You know, here's somebody that has worked a job all these years. They retire, and now they can kick back and just enjoy and serve God, maybe in church and do different things like that. And it gets prevented by some sort of a bad spirit for whatever region. But again, the wages of sin is death. And whenever there's sin, something for that time dies. That I think about marriages, and I don't know if anything breaks my heart more than somebody is married 24 years and they get a divorce. My parents did. 24 years. It blows my mind as I think about 24 years. And now they're coming into the age where they can enjoy themselves and enjoy each other, and they get a divorce and start all over. I used to think, and I wasn't very old, but you know, I used to think, that's so foolish. It doesn't make sense. But you see, it's a prevention of time. It's a period you could have had. And I'm enjoying the time that my wife and I have. 36 years we've been married. And you know, I'm more excited today than the day we said I do. But that's how it should be. That's how it should be for everybody. I'm going to get rid of him. I'm going to get rid of her. You know, you're cutting short a period that God reserved for you because of some stupidity. You're cutting it short because of sin. You're going to cut that thing short, and you prevent what should be a wonderful, wonderful time. You ever hear, we're just going to grow old together? That sounds nice, doesn't it? That's the way it should be. That's the way it should be. You know, I think about the prevention of time. I think about people wasting time. Wasting time. I think about people who are lazy and don't get anything accomplished in the time that they have. The prevention of time. Number 12 is the preservation of time. God says this. He uses one word. It's redeem. Redeem the time. What's that mean? Use it to the fullest. Buy it up. Use your time to the fullest. You know that coupon for $20 off of a $15 purchase? That's a good deal. I'm trying to help you. You know that great coupon you have? Sitting in the box, it isn't doing any good. Get that thing out and redeem it. Every second that we have that gets cast off, what a waste. God says, redeem the time. How's he say to do it? Look at Ephesians 5 and verse 16. Ephesians 5, 16. He says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Redeem the time. Before that, he said, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. That means every second that I have, I want to use it profitably. I want to use it the right way. I want to use it the way God wanted me. I'm going to preserve that time for whatever His will is. I'm going to redeem that time. Colossians 4, look at it, and verse 5. Colossians 4, 5. It says, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Talking about people that are lost. Take advantage of the time. You know, the one positive thing about the rapture not taking place today is there are still lost people that we can tell about Jesus if we will redeem the time. Okay? Every day that goes by that Jesus did not return is a day that a lost person can get saved. It's a day that we can get right with God and be walking with God. Preservation of time, redeem it. Use it to the fullest. Now, there has to be a balance. We have to work. We have to rest. We have to serve God. We, by the way, that should be included in everybody's thinking. We have to eat. That should be included too. We have to assemble, not only in church, but we also have to assemble as a family. You have to have time. We have to have, the Bible says bodily exercise profiteth little. So we need to do that. And amusement's not wrong, it's okay, but certainly most of us don't need as much as we have. But the preservation of time, what are you doing with those seconds, those minutes, those hours, those days, those weeks, those months? Preservation, redeem the time. It's like I say, that coupon, you know, I just let a Men's Warehouse coupon expire. And, I could have had another tie. But, no. But, you let those say, and, you know, it's worthless. Hey, what's this coupon worth? Well, it's $20 off, if you buy $50 worth or something like that. Wow, it's worth $20 off. That's great, $20, huh? And it's expired. What's it worth? Nothing. Why? I didn't redeem it. I wonder how many minutes that could be said about our lives. I wonder how many hours that could be said. Well, I had 24 hours to, and what'd you do with it? Nothing. Hey, young people in school, what are you doing with your time? You have so much time to accomplish this class. Let's use English as an example. Amen. And you have X amount of time to accomplish and master 9th grade English, 10th grade English, 11th grade English, 12th grade English. You know, what'd you do with it? Well, it's not the most important. No, wait. Redeem the time. Amen. It's part of your life. It's a season that God has given with a purpose. We do speak English. I know it's hard to believe. Preservation of time. We overlook it. You know, we take it all for granted. It's amazing how we'll let time pass as if it means nothing. I started this tonight with the fact that it's priceless. I got news for you. When your time is out, or you are starting to know that it's out, you wish you had more. You get older, you wish you had more. There's a lot I wish. Boy, I'd love to go back and be, but it didn't work that way. By the way, some folks get all depressed about that and never end up doing anything. Best thing to do, if you feel like I wish I, then you need to go forward and do it. I close with number 13, and that is the predicament of time. Look at Ecclesiastes 8, verse 8. The predicament of time. Ecclesiastes 8 and verse 8. And there is a predicament. It says, there is no man that hath power over the spirit to retain the spirit, neither hath he power in the day of death, and there is no discharge in that war, neither shall wickedness deliver those that are given to it. And the fact is, when it runs out, it's out. When it runs out, it's over. There's no man that hath power over the spirit. When it's time, the time ends, that's it. It's done. Neither hath he power in the day of death. We run out. That's always a predicament. Well, I just ran out of time. Well, I didn't get this done. I ran out of time. Oh, I didn't pass that test. I ran out of time. I didn't get that paper done. You know, I didn't get that report done. And I only had a month. And I started yesterday. That's the predicament. We run out. People who run late all the time, they miss out. Just miss out. The predicament of time is there's always regrets. There's the regrets because we just didn't handle time right. How you doing with your time of marriage? How you doing with your time with your children? How you doing with your time as a Sunday school teacher? How you doing with your time as a bus worker? How are you doing with your time at work? Are you putting in 8 hours? Because you're getting paid for 8 hours? Yeah, 12 hours. How you doing with your time? The predicament is you know, I would wonder how many people are at an altar any given Sunday because of this thing right here. I just didn't get done. I just didn't take advantage of the time that I had. You know, another predicament of time is sometimes we show particular favor to a certain period of time. Job did that, Job 29, verse 2. Interesting verse, Job 29 and verse 2. We have to be so careful that whatsoever state we're in, we're content. Job 29, 2, "Oh, that I were as in months past, as in the days when God preserved me." You know? But if I could just have those days again, it could be youth. Could be with youth, it could be health. Could be, in Job's case, prosperity. Oh, if I could just have that again. I don't like this. I want... Yeah, it's a predicament of time, because whatever that period that we're in, our Father planned it, and He knows. Did you know that God knows what arthritis is? He knows. He knows all about arthritis. He knows all about stooping. He knows all about aches and pains. He knows all about the noises we make when we stand up. He knew. He knows. But if I just could... No. And He knows about the rain, and He knows about the storms, and the trials, and the heartaches. He knows all of it. And the predicament of time is that we somehow wish it was a different time instead of saying, "God, I'm thankful for today. I'm so thankful for this day, this opportunity, this period, this moment that you've given me. And if I can't do anything else, I'll just praise your name, because I can always do that." In all, we ought to thank God for the time of our sojourning. Eternity past, eternity future, God inhabits them. We will inhabit eternity future. If you're not saved, you will inhabit that in hell. If you're saved, you will inhabit that in heaven with the Lord for all eternity. We can't fathom eternity because we don't deal with that every day, but it is true. It's what the Bible says. But in between there is this thing called time, and it affects all this up here. What are we doing with our time? What are we doing? Thank God for the time of our sojourning. Let's make the most of our time. You have regrets at the end of 2012? Okay, get them right with God and say, "You know what? 2013, here's my course right here. And I feel pressure to finish my course."